Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and we're here one more time. God has blessed us to be on the air, that is, Blog Talk Radio, with Truth Ministry. So we'd like to thank God just another day that the Lord has kept us through many dangers, toils, and snares. Somebody said, I have already come. I found in Him a resting place, and He has made me glad. So thank God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So it's good to be here one more time. We thank God for all of our Twitter listeners and followers, all of our Facebook friends and followers, and also all of our Blog Talk friends and followers, and then and especially our LinkedIn friends and followers, those that we are connected to on LinkedIn. We thank God for you. So it's good to be here in the land of the living, and so we are grateful for that. These last days, the eyes of our understanding have been enlightened. So thank God for the oneness of God. Everybody don't know who Jesus is, just like the song says. So that's why we've been still teaching on the Godhead. So we have a good lesson that we're going to continue on this evening that we started on last Wednesday evening, and that is out of the book of the Hebrews. So that's the central theme, and the subject of the Bible is God. And knowing that Jesus is God in the flesh. So this is why we read the intro that we do, the same God that was back there in the beginning. In the beginning, God is a divine testimony, and there was only one witness on the stand, and that was God Himself. So John picks the same thing up. He had the revelation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so that's why he says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. The glory is as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And he goes on to say, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So very important to look in the scriptures and search the scriptures. So the scriptures are in the New Testament. They are definitely talking about the things that went on in the Old Testament. So that's so very important. So the Lord did come in the volume of the book. And I'm just thinking as I was making that statement about the law was given by Moses, as John wrote. But he goes on to say, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So the law, there was nothing wrong with the law. And those of you who have listened in time past, we did go through the Acts of the Apostles, and we also did go through the book of Romans. So we go on here, in Romans, the 8th chapter. And remember, these scriptures are written to people who are already saved. These are letters written to churches, people who are already saved. So to get saved, you got to come through the Acts of the Apostles. So they, on the day of Pentecost, Peter, who had the keys to the kingdom of heaven, he had the binding and the loosing power. He had to open up the doors of the church on the day of Pentecost, the fulfillment of Joel 2:28, when the Lord said, it shall come to pass, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see vision. Upon your servants and handmaids I will pour out of my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. That means preach, male and female. So what I wanted to bring out here, so there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So this is Paul writing to the church at Rome. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, here's what I wanted to get to, in that it was weak through the flesh. Remember now, the subject is the law. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Here it is, the answer, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. He goes on here, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So he goes on, so they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So that means make alive, quicken. So he said, the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus. Jesus is eternal, but the Son isn't. That's the office of sonship. The Spirit is God. God is a spirit. He always was, and he always will be. But he took on a body. So this is what we have been endeavoring to talk about. The greatest revelation of all times. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. He was in that body. He is the Christos, the anointed flesh of God. So God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses. The writer goes on to say, but it has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And so we can give that to you here, Therefore, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, therefore, but go up a little farther, because the Apostle Paul is writing, he's writing things for a reason. This Corinthian church was a very gifted church, but they were carnal-minded. So if you go to the first, second, and third chapters, that's why he's saying things that he did, even to the saints which were at Rome, who he had never met. He came to them that he might impart unto them some spiritual gift. So he started the church at Corinth, but the Roman church, he didn't. That's why he had to go to them, because he had heard of their faith. But here in Corinthians, he would go on to say, he's making a point here. He said, wherefore henceforth know we no more, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. So the disciples or the apostles, they walked with Jesus during his earthly ministry. They knew him as a man in the flesh. And what he's saying is, we don't know him no more in the flesh. In other words, he's risen from the dead. In 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, he's become the first fruits of them that slept. Then come at the end when he shall have put down all rule and authority, for he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The writer goes on to say, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So he's risen from the dead. So this is what he's talking about, his resurrection and the order of the resurrection and how it's going to be with us. Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. In the 12th chapter of St. John, and what he is talking about is his self, his death. He had to die, and he brought forth much fruit. He's still bringing forth fruit. So he goes on to say, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And he goes on to it that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For ye have made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So he's bringing that out, how Christ died for our sins. That's the gospel too. If you go to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And he went on to say about how he was seen of Cephas, and which is Peter, and the order, the apostles who saw him. And he goes on here to say he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and that's After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. He's talking about they died in Christ, or they're dead in Christ. The main thing is that you are in Christ, whether you're dead or alive, and the way to get into Christ, you have to be baptized into Christ. So that's why Peter preached the message that he did on the day of Pentecost: repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, Jews, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That includes us, when he said he was going to send the Apostle Paul far hence to the Gentiles. So he said, after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. This is after the resurrection. And last of all, he was seen of me as of one born out of due time. So that was one of the signs of being an apostle, is that you had to see the Lord. You are an eyewitness. They were eyewitnesses. They laid the foundation. They wrote the New Testament scriptures, and they died horrible deaths. Except for John, he was boiled in oil. I don't want to be boiled in oil. I don't think you do either. So anyway, it says, I'm the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Talking about the other apostles, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. This is Paul. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. So this is the message. It's about Jesus, not about us. So that's why I hate that folly, that lie of all of these people keep telling people to sow seed. No bigger lie in the world. So they have turned the grace of God into lasciviousness, just like the writer said. They suppose that gain is godliness. That was one of the things that Apostle Paul wrote to his son Timothy in the gospel. He said, from such turn away. In other words, get away from them. So they're making it all about them and how important these men are. I mean, God, get through with you, he discards you. So that's why you got to redeem the time, for the days are evil. You got to run for your life. That is, be in the will of God and do his will, because James says, what is our life? It's like a vapor. It appears for a little while and it vanishes away. Peter said, the grass withereth, and the flower fadeth. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So it's not about us. It's about the Lord. And he never left himself without witness. So God's going to have somebody who is going to proclaim his word. So it's a privilege to be able to do that. So like we always try to let you know, we have to rightly divide the word of truth. So we have to study 2 Timothy 2:15. His instructions to Timothy, his son, in the gospel, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So this is the truth when it is rightly divided. So that's our endeavor to do just that. So we can see what a greedy world that we're in, things that are going on, and folks are power-stricken, folks are selfish, and we can see that right now with this government shutdown, because people have hate and envy in their heart, and they are selfish. So just a blessing to be able to declare the word of the Lord, and I thank God for his grace. So the devil hates that people were in a trap or in a very uncomfortable situation and they escaped, and he hates that. So the whole point is none of us are better than the rest of us, as someone said, maybe worse. So it's the grace of God which bringeth salvation, hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's Titus 2:11. So thank God for his grace. So we were sinners. We were serving divers lusts, all these things that we were doing as sinners. It don't matter if you were goody two-shoes, as we would say. You had good morals or whatever. You're still a liar. We came forth speaking lies, because baby cry when ain't nothing wrong. So it was the point being, like the writer says, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we try to kick people down and stomp people down and condemn people, and like they don't have a right to live for God or to teach God's word or to preach God's word. The devil is a liar. None righteous, no, not one. So we have his righteousness. He saved us. He made us accepted in the beloved. So it's no goodness of our own. So thank God for the mercy of God, for the grace of God, for the favor of God, for the love of God, his long suffering. So you want to, we have to redeem the time. We have to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So like Apostle Paul said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means I preach to others and I myself be a castaway. So that's what I say. Same thing he's saying. I'm not going through this. I'm not going through the motions. I'm not playing. I'm not hypocriting around. The devil is a lie. I'm not going through all of this to end up in a hellhole, to end up in a lake of fire. Oh, no, I'm not. But I'm doing living for God, and it takes the Holy Ghost to be able to live holy. You can't live holy without the Holy Ghost. That's why they were baptized with the Holy Ghost. So with the evidence of speaking with other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gives them to utter. So it was poured out on them on the day of Pentecost. So that's what Jesus was saying. Now, he, the Spirit of truth, is come. He will guide you into all truth. He dwelleth with you, he was telling the disciples, and he shall be in you. Talking about the Spirit of the truth, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is Jesus. That's why he had to go away. He said, if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come. So he had to go away. That's why he came to give his life. Got up on the from the dead on the third day morning, just like he said that he would. Came to give his life. He said, no man take my life. You got to understand terminology as the shepherd of the sheep. He says, I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. So we're going on here. We made reference here to this today. If you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Reference to this particular quote out of the book of the Hebrews. We're in the fourth chapter, and I'm just going to kind of recap a little bit. But when he says that he had about today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in a provocation of the day of temptation in the wilderness. You go back and read the 95th Psalm. These quotes in the fourth chapter of the Hebrews, that is where it derives from, the Psalms. So much repetition in the Bible. So he goes on here, just a little recap. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest. See, this is what we're talking about. Rest, works, labor, about entering in, and about unbelief. So we go on here, for unto us was the gospel preached, he goes on here saying, as well as unto them. He's talking about the church now, and he's talking about Israel back in that time. But he says, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. But we which have believed do enter into his rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And God did rest from his rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. So we've said that, and if you read in the Gospels and you read in the letters, that is the worst sin in the whole world, is that one word, unbelief. And in the lake of fire, the unbelievers, that is mentioned in the 20th chapter of Revelation, unbelievers going to be in there. So that is the worst sin in the whole world, is not believing God. So nobody want that testimony. So he goes on here, and he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, as it is said, remember I said, This quote is in the 95th Psalm. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now, here is something to catch, and I think I kind of put emphasis on this on last week. For if Jesus had given them rest, this is talking about Israel, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Then there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into his rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. There it is again. So we have to pay very close attention to repetition. You don't want to do that. And a good example of unbelief is the statement that Jesus made, and that is, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Remember when the angels came to deliver Lot out of there and his family, and Abraham had came, it was three men in the 18th chapter of Genesis, and they were coming to see about what God had said about those cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. So after they went on to see about that business, the Bible said that Abraham drew near. That means he interceded. There'd be 50. He went on down. God said he would not destroy the city if he could find 10 righteous. So anyway, they had to get out of there. They had to get out of there. The emphasis was made to Lot. We cannot do anything until you be out of here. So they got Lot out of there and his two daughters and his wife. Anyway, his family and his wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. So the whole point was, you're supposed to get out of there because God was destroying the place. And then so you go on, you read, then the Lord rained down fire from heaven, from the Lord, and he destroyed those cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And so Lot's wife didn't want to get out of there. They were saying, hasten, don't, you know, get out of here. She looked back and she became a pillar of salt. In other words, she got burnt to a crisp, as we would say in our vernacular. So you got to believe God. So that is one of the keys. That's another one of the signs of the end time is unbelief. People do not believe God. They don't believe it. People have been saying Jesus is coming soon. It may be morn, it may be night or noon, but Jesus is coming soon. He's coming soon. He said it himself, the last words of heaven, surely I come quickly. So if he said it, he's going to do it. So like someone said, if it's 100 years from now, which is we're in the end time now, if you're not ready, it'll be too soon. So the point being, will you be ready when Jesus comes? We sung a song. So, excuse me, he says, so let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. That's one example you don't want to fall after, is unbelief. That is, you got to believe. It don't matter. People can laugh all they want. It ain't going to be no joke. When the angels cast people into the lake of fire, it will be no joke. Nobody will be laughing. That's why Peter said, and one thing he preached on the day of Pentecost, when he preached about telling them to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and they will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, about the promise of the Father. But he went on to say, he exhorted and testified with many other words, and what he said, was a good statement that still is good today, and that is, he says, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So you can save yourself. So people are just going around lying. It's amazing. I marvel at how people, everybody else is at fault but them. But that's why Jesus says, take the beam out of your own eye. Then you can see clear to take the mote out of your brother. So we just want to make, sometimes people want to make everyone else be the fault, but it's not them. So you got to, that's why he said, you got to examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Examine your own selves. So he says, know ye not that Jesus Christ is in you, except he's in us, except we be reprobates. And he goes on to say, I trust we are no reprobates. We're not. We're walking with him and doing what he says, but can't be going around finding fault with everybody else all the time. So anyway, you don't want to, this example of unbelief, that is the example of unbelief that I gave you in the 18th and 19th chapter of Genesis. You can go back and read that there about God destroying Sodom and Gomorrah and about Lot's wife and God raining down fire and brimstone out of heaven, destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So here we have the living word. So he goes on to say, the Hebrew writer, for the word of God is quick. That means it's living. That means it is alive. It's a living word. So he says, it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You imagine that? The word of God is quick, it's alive, it's powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. A two-edged sword is sharp. It cuts both ways. Matter of fact, you got to hold it. If you don't handle it right, you will get cut. That's what he's just giving us, an analogy about God's word. So it says, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So this is what God's word will do. And sometimes you say to people, God, he is not playing. He is not playing with me and nobody else. Because sometimes people take things personal. They think you're trying to talk about them. No, God is not playing with no one or nobody. He's not playing. He said, he means what he says, and he says what he meant. So he goes on to say, neither is there any creature, talking about human beings, that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Talking about God. So you can't separate God from his word. That's why he said, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He's the word. His eyes go to and fro throughout the earth, the whole earth. He's looking for who's him on the behalf, to show himself strong on the behalf of them who whose heart is perfect toward him. In other words, you want to be mature. You got to grow up in him who is ahead of all things, even Christ. This is what the writer said when he wrote to the church at Ephesus. In the fourth chapter, till we all come into unity of the faith, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. That means mature, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He goes on to say that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men whereby they lie in wait, to deceive. But he said, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him who is ahead of all things, even Christ. So that word, grow up, is maturity. That's the same word that the girls used to tell the boys when we were teenagers. They used to say two words, grow up. So in other words, you need to be mature. You need to grow up. So we got to be mature in God. So, seeing then, The Hebrew writer says that we have a great high priest. He's talking about Jesus. that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. In other words, the body of God. He had to make himself a body. So, as being the Son of God, because he didn't have a body, but he had to make himself a body. So, this is why he came. So, he said, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. So, that's in the 10th chapter of Hebrews and the 40th Psalm. So, he says, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. So that's why the Hebrew writer says, much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. See, we read this on last week, just to go back, talking about the body of God. So the children are partakers of flesh and blood. He's talking about a body. Angels don't have flesh and blood. He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. The devil had power of death. So he goes on here, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Talking about human beings. So the key, so I'm just doing like a little rewind from last week. So the Hebrew writer says, verily, talking about Jesus now, the Lord of glory, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels. See, angels don't have flesh and blood, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. That is a human body, flesh and blood. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, talking about human beings, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, that he might to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. And like I had said on last week, when that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. That word succor means help. So he definitely is a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. That's why he was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. Isaiah the prophet says he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So this is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ in the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. So he says, he goes on here, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. So he says, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. So in other words, as a human being, he was tempted. Just think, he was tempted with, but the devil tempted Jesus in the 4th chapter of Matthew, took him up on the pinnacle, showed him all the kingdoms of the world, said, I'll give you this if you fall down and worship me. Look at that lying devil. How are you going to give the creator that? But he told him, get behind me. It's written, Satan, thou shall worship the Lord God, and him only shall thou serve. So this is what the devil wants, is worship, and he's going to get it. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work on him who now letteth, will let, till he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the brightness of his coming, even him whose working is after the working of Satan. That's in 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter. That is none other than the Antichrist, the devil incarnate in a man. He want to be worshipped. He's sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And I know I'm skipping around a little bit, but that is what that is talking about. And I kind of go back there, just since I've already kind of opened up that. But that is the devil himself. So it's a mystery. of iniquity. Iniquity means I meant to do it. Just like that devil tried to overthrow, he thought he was going to overthrow God. Remember I made, told you, Jesus says, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And how did he see him fall? Because he threw him out. So that devil is a real piece of work. He's a real fool. He think he bad. And he's no match for us if we don't have the Holy Ghost. So it behooves us. That's why Jesus says, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So it's so important to receive the Holy Ghost. And when you call on the name of Jesus, that's why the scripture says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. Proverbs 18:10. So that's biblical terminology. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, the writer says, but safety is of the Lord. So God's got us. I mean, he can devil is plotting to try to get you. God has sent him another way because he is not playing. So here I just kind of dealt with this, and this is still talking about we got to realize who Jesus is, and the devil is actually going to be in a man too. So here we want to kind of do bring this in on our lesson today. It behooves us to believe God. So he says, 2 Corinthians, the second chapter. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, a coming of who? Our Lord. And by the gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God. See, that's the Antichrist, or that is worshipped, so that he as God, that's the key word, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. You see that? He wants to be worshipped. And that's why he's in this foul music that people are playing, going out of their mind and all of that. The devil wants worship, and he's getting it too. So he goes on here to say, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. So, in other words, what he's saying is, I want you to know something. The reason why that devil cannot work like he wants is because the church of God is hindering him. After the church is raptured away or caught away, after the appearing of the Lord to take the church out of here, then shall that wicked be revealed. He can't work like he wants because of the prayers of the people of God or the saints of God. We were called to be saints. You better know you're a saint now. Romans, Corinthians, he talks about the saints who are at Rome, the ones who are at Corinth. You don't wait like that Catholic church. That is a lie out of hell. You dead for somebody to say, oh, he's going to make sainthood. No, that's a lie out of hell. You better know you are saint of God right now. Read in the book of Romans and the book of Corinthians. When he writes his letter, we are called to be saints. So a lot of people say, oh, I'm not a saint. Well, you should want to be. You want to be a child. You should be a child of God. If you're not a child of God, you're a child of the devil. The devil has children too. Like Cain, he was of the wicked one. That's why his works were evil, and his brother Abel's works were righteous. So we go on here. So he says, now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. So here it is right here. For the mystery of iniquity, that's a mystery. Why are you out of your mind if you're a man and you don't want the opposite sex what God created for you? Now, sin is sin. That's a fornicator. If you with somebody that ain't your wife, you cannot, that's illegal procedure. A man cannot marry another man. I don't care what kind of law they pass. It, as far as God is concerned, you are not married. You cannot marry the same gender. If you're a woman, you can't marry a woman. I don't care if the state says you do. As far as God is concerned, you are not. So that's the mystery of iniquity. So they don't care. We want to do what we want to do. That movement is not going to be stopped. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah, God killed them, and he killed them good. He burned them all up. So God is not playing. He has not changed. And so that is a, what they call a sin of Sodom. We know what sodomy is. That's where the term came from. So all liars, God is against all unrighteousness, liars and murderers and stealers and adulterers and fornicators. It's all in the same category. Thieves, unbelief, all in the same category. That's what we have to realize. So he goes on here, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. That's a mystery. So iniquity, like they say, I meant to do it. So only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Remember I said the prayers of the people of God, the church, after the church is gone, then shall that wicked be revealed. So he goes on here to say, and then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So you know how we make statements. We say, oh, to each his own. No, it ain't. You better do what God says. You got to give account. I have to save myself. That's why Peter says, save yourself. So that's what Joshua said. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you better know what house I'm talking about. I can say that statement. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. My body. This is the house of God, the pillar and ground of the truth. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So I'm going to serve God by his grace, and I thank him that he called me to serve him. So we're going on here. So that is why a songwriter says, I'm going to continue. That is why I'm going to the end. That is why I'm running to the strong tower. The song goes on to say that I might testify again. That is why I'm keeping God's commandments, and I'm striving every day so that I might stand before the saints of God to sing and shout and give God praise. So you got to continue on. That's what Jesus is saying. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. In St. John the 8th chapter, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So thank God for that. So anyway, so he goes on here. He's saying the high priest that we have, the one we have, he can be touched. So he said, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched. One we have, he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was tempted like as we, yet without sin. So we don't know what all temptations Jesus had faces. So even St. John, in the end of his book, he said, many other things Jesus done, if they were written every one, he said, I suppose even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. So there were so many things that he done during his earthly ministry. So he was the great high priest that's passed into the heavens. He offered, he made the sacrifice. He sacrificed himself. He was God that received the sacrifice. After we read in the fifth chapter, I believe, of Revelation, There stood a lamb in the midst of the throne, and he came and took the book out of the hand of him that set it on the throne, because he couldn't find nobody, body in heaven or earth, or nobody, to open the book and loose the seals thereof. So there stood a lamb, as it had been slain, and he was in the midst of the throne. He came and took the book out of the hand of him who sat on the throne. In other words, he took it from himself. He got up, but he didn't get up, but he got up, but he didn't get up, but he didn't, but he got up, but he didn't get up. He's God, he's everywhere and every place. Leave you, come to you, ain't gone nowhere. He fills heaven and earth. Every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. So he's talking about that office of the high priest, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. So you can know how it feels. One of the worst feelings in the world is for somebody to forge a lie on you. I mean, that you just feel like going to chase them down, but you don't. When you're saved, you don't do that. But what I do, I got some lies that I'm going to confront at the time. I'm not going to have to run down, because I'm going to face the individual who told the lie. So then what you do then, you say, that is not true. That is a lie. And the truth will make you free. So you don't worry about it. You, like I say, there's some statements that have to be made, and it will be the truth forever. You never have to compromise the truth. You shouldn't be bribed out of the truth. You shouldn't be blackmailed out of the truth. You shouldn't be railroaded out of the truth. You shouldn't be interrogated out of the truth. The truth will make you free. So you can't be blackballed or any other term you can think of. So he says, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. See, this is what they did. They had to offer for themselves, the high priest back in that day, and then for the sins of the people. I'm told that they used to tie ropes on the high priest, and they had bells on them. So when he went in that into the veil once a year without sin, but the blood that he had to offer for himself and then for the sins of the people, he had to go in there right. Because if he didn't go in the presence of God right that once a year, then he died. And nobody could go in there and get him out. That's why they had ropes on him. They had to pull him out dead if he wasn't right. So God wasn't playing then, and he's not playing now. So he says, no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Remember, that word means to become the father of. And he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that them that obey him, called of God and high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Remember, Melchizedek was the one Abraham met after the slaughter of the kings, and he paid tithes in him. So he was called King of Salem, King of Peace. So I'm kind of skipping ahead a little bit. So he goes on here talking about it. Let's see how much time we got. Oh, time is gone. I'm going to continue on next week because I really don't have time to get there. So this order of Melchizedek, I think I will stop right there. So next week we're gonna talk about Melchizedek, because we can go back in the book of Genesis, let you know about Melchizedek, how he had neither beginning of days nor end of life. So we're going to let you know who Melchizedek is, and it ties right into what we are teaching. And I'm so surprised this time has gotten away on the day. But anyway, today, like I said, our tags were rest, works, labor, and we want to enter in to his rest. And then we don't want to have that example of unbelief, because unbelief is the worst sin in the whole wide world. And even as Jesus was healing people in the book of Matthew, and he could not do many, and even in the Gospels, I just have to go out and bring those out, but he could not do many mighty works, said more than one of the Gospel writers, because of unbelief. So he couldn't work like he wanted to or he desired to, because the people did not believe him. We call it unbelief. So we thank God for your listening on today. We'll pick up on next time. Continue our lesson. God bless. Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Thank you.